Bro, what's up?
Dude, just watching the dating game.
Right on. Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the podcast where we do some stuff, and we got beanbags and dogs and things. I'm Parker Bowman, joined as always by Jason Rizababes Frizbabe.
How are you doing this week?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm not as sick as I used to be, and I went to the dentist, which always makes me very happy, so I'm doing...
Wait, you went to the dentist?
Yeah.
You do not? Okay, I know we've talked about this before. You have a Bill Murray in Little Shop of Horrors sort of attraction to the dentist. Like, you have this kind of masochistic affair with the dentist. Is this true?
It is true. It's, it's kind of weird to admit, because I think that means I'm some kind of sex pervert. But I do like it when they're, like, doing the thing with, like, the metal scrapey guy, you know? And, like, they're, like, scraping at the teeth, and it, like, hurts your gums very bad. And I love that. It feels great to me.
Well, first of all, I don't think you need to establish or defend yourself as a sex pervert for the two of us that has watched the China sex tape video. you're pretty good on that angle. And by comparison, I think that the scraping against the teeth attraction perversion is a way more healthier perversion than when you watch wrestling porn. That's just me, though.
Yeah, that's true. Of the two things that I do.
Yeah.
In life, which is hurt my teeth on purpose and watch wrestling porn. Yeah, the wrestling porn is probably the worst part of that.
How'd the visit go, though? Do you have any cavity fiends?
No cavities. No cavities. I'm good. The dentist, he always compliments me on how sturdy my teeth are, which is weird because when I was a little kid, I had like 30 cavities, like every time I went to the dentist or something, but... now as an adult man, I'm good. Good to go.
Yeah, I don't know what happens after those baby teeth. Like, they are definitely the training wheels of, bone and enamel. Because I fucked mine up, too. Terribly. I'm definitely with you. I thought, like, going to the dentist meant having to get a drill and a filling each time. Like, I thought that's what it was. No joke.
Yeah.
I didn't realize you could get it in and out scot-free. That's an actual thing that I do now.
Yeah, the dentist used to be terrible for me. One time the dentist was like doing some crazy shit, like giving me a filling or something. A Nathan Fillion he was giving me. And
Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Fucking go on.
And I moved my tongue around because I was like all upset about it. And he cut my tongue, and I, like, bled all over the place. And then I, like, threw such a big fit about it that the doctor told me, or the dentist, I guess, he told me that I was not allowed to go to his practice anymore.
That's pretty rad.
Yeah, I was, like, kind of a shitty kid, I guess.
Maybe that's part of where the perversion comes in. Like, you're not allowed to be there in your childhood state, and that's what sparked it.
Maybe. Maybe, like, my, like, baby lizard brain thinks that, like, it's... Like, I'm doing something bad because I'm, like, not allowed to be at the dentist, and I'm there at the dentist. And then my lizard penis just really likes being hurt for some reason.
I'm so glad you just revealed that you're a lizard person. I know we brought this up, like, almost a year ago. We talked with Shelby Cobras from Ilcon about lizard people, and now you're finally coming out. I'm proud of you.
Yeah. Well, it turned out that Donald Lloyd of the Junk Food Warehouse, he found all the triangles I put in those videos.
Okay.
He guaranteed he would.
Right on. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, we got a lot of stuff to get into, possibly. All right. So, let's get into the lightning round here.
What?
All right.
This is not lightning round music, although maybe it should be.
Yeah, I like this better than the lightning round music.
I like this better than every song I've ever heard.
All right, so what do we have this week? Let me turn these guys down.
That's good. I like where it is.
Yeah, let me turn it up.
Let it roll. This week up in the lightning round, first up, we have hatchet-wielding hitchhiker defeats racist Jesus. I love the title already. I kind of don't want to read the rest of it, but let's get a little bit more detail here. There's a guy named Kai, K-A-I. He is a homeless hitchhiker who carries around a hatchet. If you're not sold on this guy yet, then stay tuned. Kai is also being hailed as a hero after saving a woman from the clutches of the man who was giving him a ride, who suddenly crashed his car into a utility worker, began spouting racist invective, and claimed to be the reincarnation of Jesus. This is all the driver, mind you. Kai is the passenger that was picked up. The guy driving crashes into a utility worker, spouts racist jargon, and then claims to be the reincarnation of Jesus. So, Kai the homeless dude, already shaping up to be way more psychologically stable than the guy who picked him up, who has a driver's license.
Which is shocking, because if you've seen the video, I picked Kai for being a dude with a lot of severe mental illnesses. But he's the saner of the two guys in this story.
Yeah, Kai was hitching a ride with 54-year-old Jet Simmons McBride of Tacoma, Washington. And McBride, for whatever reason, decided to run his car into the Black Pacific Gas, an electric worker in West Fresno, California. The worker was pinned against his utility truck when McBride, again, this is the driver, hopped out of his vehicle and began physically pulling on the injured worker. McBride continued his assault. Somebody else tried to get involved to stop this and bring some order, but McBride grabbed this woman into a bear hug and began claiming that he was Jesus Christ and started uttering racial epithets. Kai, who was sitting in the car, saw McBride assault the woman and sprang into action. Kai grabbed his hatchet and battered his 6-foot, 300-plus-pound McBride with a blunt end, reportedly saving Baker's life. Quote from Kai, "I fucking ran up behind him with a hatchet. Smash, smash, smash."
Yeah, this is pretty intense and insane. This happened like a half an hour from my house, which I'm very proud of.
It's beautiful.
And did you watch the video of Kai's interview?
No, but just catching a glimpse while we're talking here, he looks like the kind of guy who would just be at a Phish concert, or no, more likely a Ween concert. He'd be at a Ween concert, mm-hmm. has not washed his hair for probably 2 years, has a tie-dye purple bandana, the ugliest of all tie-dye, over his hair, and he looks pretty much confounded. He looks like he's been camping for the last 5 years in some sort of motocross racing t-shirt. Upon seeing him, you could see him taking a hatchet and saving somebody's life who was from a racist fake Jesus.
That's true. Yeah, it's you know, this guy's going to be like the new Anton, what's his name, Dobson or Dodson, the hide your people because they're raping everybody out here. That guy?
Yeah.
This guy's definitely going to be the new that guy. Like, I think people on the internet are going pretty crazy for this guy in that video. And it's only a matter of time before he gets auto-tuned and he gets turned into a meme. I'm sure Reddit's going nuts already as we talk about this. And, it's very exciting. I like this guy. I like his attitude. It's, they kind of confirmed it, or maybe not confirmed a stereotype, but I think it's forming a stereotype that this guy Kai had a hatchet on him. Because when our friend Jenny Mack and her boyfriend came out here, like, they hitchhiked out here to California to hang out with me. And because they're, like, professional hitchhikers and vagabonds, you know, they're, like, anarchists that, you know.
Card-carrying anarchists, yeah. Yes. Card-carrying hitchhikers. It's their life's work.
Yeah, so when they came out here, her boyfriend Justin, like, he had just gotten out of the hospital because some kid at, like, some squatting campsite hit him with a hatchet. So I think that homeless people are, like, super into hatchets for some reason.
That's super fucking weird. Like, did he describe the hatchet was it like a new tech sort of hatchet that has black rubber all over it and stainless steel cutting? Like, the kind of hatchet it'd be the same kind of make of the axe that went through my foot about a month or two ago.
Yeah. And you were homeless at the time, because you were not at your home, technically.
Yeah, I was squatting in the backyard, technically.
Yeah.
Squatter's rights. But was it something new like that, or was it an old school, like, Indian reservation tourist trap sort of hatchet?
I assume it was probably the kind you get at Walmart rather than the kind like, I don't know. I mean, you know, judging from these like homeless punk rock hipsters, like maybe they did have some sort of like, ancient artifact kind of a replica hatchet.
DIY hatchet.
Yeah, a lot of those guys are into that kind of stuff. A lot of those hipster punk rockers are real into dressing up like Indians for some reason. I really don't understand that thing.
So, well, with that information, have you hitchhiked? Do you ever plan on hitchhiking?
I hitchhiked one time. It wasn't for very long. Me and a couple of friends went to a haunted cave, which is like 45 minutes away from Dayton. And we just got dropped off by one of the people's moms. And we were like, we'll find a way back home. You know, we're 17. We're resourceful. And we called a couple of our friends, and we couldn't find a way back home. So we had to hitchhike home. And then that's about it. It was like a, you know, 45-minute ride, but it worked out pretty well. The people were very nice to us. They let us ride in the back of their truck, which is always, like, super fun.
Yeah, that's some on-the-road shit right there. You experienced some Jack Kerouac shit.
Yeah, we stopped halfway, and I worked at an orange grove for a while and married a Mexican woman.
You were balls deep in the nicest Mexican lady you've ever met.
You got that right.
I remember that story. You sounded really old-timey when you were telling it.
Yeah.
And you had apple pie with ice cream on it. It was delicious and nutritious.
And I was
an actual line from that book.
Delicious and nutritious?
Yeah.
I haven't read it in a while. That's so nerdy. What a square beatnik.
I think he's trying to be ironic. Because, I mean, he's eating like the most sugar-laden thing he can find. It's like a junkie's feast that he's eating. He's like, it's delicious and nutritious. It always stuck out for me.
Yeah. I tried reading it again. I might have mentioned this, but I tried reading it again like a year ago, and I got like three pages in, and I was just like, I can't do this. This is a young man's book. This is not for me.
I agree. The youth is wasted on the young, and so is on the road. Still a good book, though.
Yeah, I assume it's probably still a good book. I just can't get into it and like be like, oh man, I need to get on the road myself the way that I did when I was like 19 or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're lazier now. We don't have as much verve, so we read like three pages and we get exhausted. I know where you're coming from with this. That's totally understandable.
I took a nap afterwards.
Even more understandable. I take naps frequently, even when I think no one's watching. Next story on the lightning round. Second grade Loveland student reportedly suspended for imaginary weapon. 7-year-old Mary Blair Elementary School student says he's confused about getting in trouble for trying to save the world from evil. Though Thompson School District officials contend that the boy broke one of the school's absolutes, end quotes. The young Alex had been suspended for throwing an imaginary grenade during recess on the playground. What were your recesses like when you were a kid?
Bunch of throwing imaginary grenades at people and stuff like that.
All the time?
Pretty much all the time. And like playing this game that like I don't know if kids play it anymore. But it was this game that we played back in my days and probably, like, every generation before that, like, throughout the history of mankind, where, like, if you thought a girl was cute, you would punch her a lot of times and pull her hair. That's a lot of what was going on then during recess.
That sounds real progressive. That's some real forward thinking on your schoolyard.
Yeah, it was the 80s.
Sounds like Neanderthal times, man.
Hey, man, come on, you telling me that you weren't mean to girls you had a crush? Like, that's like something that's like embedded deep within our DNA. Especially.
No, man.
No,
you. Go ahead. What were you going
to
say?
When you were like 10 years old, you weren't mean to girls you had crushes on?
No, I didn't know. I didn't know what was going on with my body. I had no idea what a crush was. Like, I'm sure I had a crush, but I had no idea how to act upon it. I was like, oh, I feel weird. Better go introvert for the next 4 years of my life.
Well, yeah,
that's
like,
what happened.
Well, that's the whole idea, is that you are getting these feelings about boobies and stuff, and you don't know what to do with it, so you pick on people. I don't know, I thought this was...
Do you think he was throwing a grenade at his crushes?
He might have been.
An imaginary grenade?
He did say he wanted to vanquish evil, and as we all know, crushes are evil.
I agree. That is probably true. Yeah, of course this is very silly. An imaginary grenade. This is kind of overkill. Like, I know what the school is doing. in lieu of the Connecticut shooting and all that.
Mm-hmm. Where the guy killed all those children with imaginary grenades, we all remember.
Yeah, he came in, fingers pointed, going... It's hardly the same thing. I mean, they got a bit silly with this.
Yeah, those children would have been saved by that security guard were he not locked in that invisible box.
Oh yeah, well he was in jail. Mm-hmm. That's what they called it. that foot by foot parameter that he was stuck in. I can't move. They put me in jail. I'm in timeout for 5 minutes.
And then that other security guard came rushing in, but sadly. The wind was so bad that day. He was running against the wind. He couldn't get to the shooter in enough time.
Well, what you should have said is that somebody had tagged him and he was frozen for the rest of the afternoon because they were playing freeze tag.
Yeah.
Sorry. That was a dickish thing to say on my part. I apologize. What you should have said...
No,
when you're going for the mime thing, obviously. I'm cutting this part out. This is terrible.
No, I love it. I like that. Okay. I like that. That's your improv instinct is to not.
That's good, but you should have said this instead, and I'm going
to
say it.
Yeah, to not only yes and, but to yes and this is what you should have said.
That's just good improv. Any improv comedian will tell you don't work with who you are with on stage. Just one up them as much as you can. That's what makes anyway. Yeah, mm-hmm. Alex is very confused, and he should be, because that's what being young is all about, is adults telling you what to do, and apparently you build a fire at the end of it. At the end of this article, he's building a fire.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, and no one's catching on to this. Like, there's a bundle of sticks organized into a teepee, and then it's all these dried leaves under it. He's wearing a camo jacket and he's smiling kind of eerily. Maybe this kid should have been expelled. Yeah. Maybe the next thing he was going to bring a real grenade. This is a kind of an unsettling picture.
Yeah, if he's setting fires, yeah, he's starting to sound scarier and scarier.
It's only like a foot and a half away from a building. Like, it's supposed to be this great focus shot, but... Man, this kid might be a creep. I don't know. The school might know what they're doing.
Well, yeah. First of all, I think that any kid who goes to school wearing, like, the green camo jacket, those kids were always creeps when I was little.
Yeah, it's unsettling because they're not hunting or anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only hunting you're going to be doing there is the most dangerous game. Man.
Mm-hmm. They didn't just return from Vietnam.
Right. And if they did, that would just be as unsettling because nobody who returned from Vietnam... had a great welcome home experience.
Yeah, especially when they were 8, just getting back. Yeah.
I can imagine this kid doing a platoon-style motion with his arms, like Willem Dafoe does in the movie. Or with this fire, he's going to be like Marlon Brando in Apocalypse Now. The horror. The horror. So many invisible grenades.
Yeah, and then later on in the 6th period, he'll be like, is my math unsound? And his teacher will be like, I see no math at all.
Yep.
Yeah, this is weird. Like, I don't think that Hollywood and movies, like, make people evil the way the politicians do. But when you're this young, it is sort of a weird thing to be like, hey, nah, man, you can't use fake grenades. That's insane. Now get back inside because next period we're going to watch Star Wars together where everyone has a gun. Coming up after that is Ben 10 Alien Force, where everyone's got a gun.
Yeah, or can turn into something that will be an alien. I don't know what Ben 10 is. I tried to guess it from, I think it was like a Burger King franchise promotion. I'm like, okay, it's some kid.
I think they're aliens with guns or something. I'm not sure. I know that Alex Winter from Freaked directed the movies, so that's cool.
The Ben 10 movies?
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, I don't think that, you know, watching violent movies makes you grow up to kill people, but I do think that watching violent movies makes you want to play and do pretend violence. So it's weird to be in this culture where we are, where, like, even the tiniest, like, baby things, baby entertainment is full of violence, and then we tell kids that, hey, man, you're not allowed to pretend to be violent. What are you doing? You're crazy.
Well, there's also a lot of structure around dichotomy as a kid. Like, you're either a good guy or a bad guy. You're a cowboy or an Indian, which unfortunately still holds that dynamic of like, oh, Indians are bad, I guess. But as a kid, what's that?
I'm going to cut you off real quick. I apologize. But I recently read that some Indian tribes, when they would kill people, like when they would raid villages and stuff, they would cut off the penises of men and make them eat their own penises. And
that's
fucking
metal.
Yeah, I think that's where the idea of good and evil came from.
Yeah, well, that's the idea for a Serbian film came from.
Yeah.
It wasn't Serbia, it was our own backyard. That is some metal stuff, man. That is really hardcore.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But what were you saying before I ruined your entire impression of Indians?
Well, now you're going to make me look like a dick, no pun intended, but I was always cast as like the villain in these childhood games. I don't understand why this was the case. Well, I kind of do. Like, I was a really mopey kid. I don't know about you, Parker, and I'll find out here in a minute, but I was a real mopey kid. So when we were doing like these childhood games and whatnot in recess, like, oh, we're the good guys. We'll be G.I. Joe. You'll be Cobra. And I fucking reveled in it. I loved it. I loved being Cobra. That guy's voice ruled, and he had no face. He had a metal face over his face.
Yeah, that's always the coolest thing.
And with cowboys and Indians, like, I was always the Indians. I looked nothing like an Indian, but I knew I had, like, some remote Indian heritage. We had Indian pictures in our house. Like, I just kind of figured that was part of it. So I was like, yeah, I'll be an Indian. I'll sneak up and scalp you.
Yeah,
and be brutal about it.
You guys knew about those pictures in my house. That's why I'm the Indian.
No, of course not. Like, they were just picking me out because it's like, okay, you're the Moby kid or whatever. You'll be the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like slowly scalping their head off while I'm covering their mouth, being like, it'll be all over soon. Only after you eat your foreskin, but
yeah,
we'll get to that later.
I'm going to make you eat this dick.
I didn't know about, where'd you hear about this Indian dick eating ceremony?
Oh, the one guy wrote about it. The guy who did Preacher. What's his name?
I don't know, but
comic book artist. He wrote about it in like one of the forewords to one of the volumes of Preacher.
Sounds like a trustworthy source.
Yeah. Well, I trust him. He seems like a smart guy.
Well, he writes about preachers, so.
Yeah. And he's also like Irish, I think. And those guys aren't known to lie.
Not at all.
Right? They're not prone to embellishment in their storytelling. I don't know. Maybe it's not true. That's what he said. I don't know. Who knows?
Still makes for a good story, though. I like it. I almost prefer it. I think that's pretty brutal.
I'll look it up.
Thanks for moving in. Here, eat this. Last up on Lightning Round, we have a South El Monte High student's loose fingers in Game of Tug of War. And I have to read the first line of this because it's kind of a dream come true. I never thought these lines existed in news. I thought they were just in comedies, but somebody had the guts to do this. An innocent game of tug-of-war turned tragic Monday afternoon when two South El Monte High School students had their fingers severed. That's a great line.
Mm-hmm. Man, like, whoever won this game of tug-of-war, like, they've got some bragging to do for, like, a long, long time, because this is awesome. Like, I've played tug-of-war before. Like, I used to play tug-of-war during, like, field days and stuff in elementary school, and, it would never end the way it always ended in Saved by the Bell, where, like, you would pull the other team into a bunch of mud and they would get upset. Like, you just kind of, like, pulled them and, like, maybe one guy went over the line and then you're the winner. But, man, winning tug of war so hard that you, like, ruin the life of somebody and mutilate them, like, that's pretty fucking intense.
Yeah, I never played a game of tug of war like that. I mean, the most extreme physical sport I played is I got hit really hard with a dodgeball once. And that was about it. It wasn't even that much of a bruise.
In Bruges, the movie?
Yes, in Bruges. It wasn't even that much in Bruges.
Colin Farrell hit you with a basketball.
We were barely assassins in that game of dodgeball. But yeah. The contestants were, well, I guess the victims. I don't know. The girl...
I like how quickly you go from contestants to victims.
Well, that first line got me all up in the tragic motif, so I have to keep saying the participants, or should I say victims of this game, or should I say this trial of war.
These Hungry Games.
These Hungry Games. It was a boy and a girl. The girl is a senior and varsity soccer player, and the boy is a football player. Firefighters responded. Apparently their fingers were torn off, and they were trying to reattach the fingers, lest they saw. That's fucking gross. I've never lost any digits, but I can't imagine losing them. And especially in this way, like, this is the worst story to have, I think, if you had to, if you permanently lost fingers. Like, if no one got hurt, that'd be awesome. If one person got hurt, that'd be pretty cool, like you said. Like, oh, yeah, the other person in this tug-of-war game, they got fucked up. Don't play tug-of-war with me. But both people? That sucks, man. That's terrible. Like, that's something you don't want repeated.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. They really should have seen this coming, though, because the official who was in charge of this game and who invited them to play the game was SawFan666.
Adorable.
You know how he is with his dangerous games and traps.
Yeah, his dangerous games aren't as intense as the movies, but he does his damnedest. And I'll tell you what, I bet he was blasting Rick Rose in the background.
Yeah.
I just want to hear that guy speak one time. Like, his Twitter feed is hilarious and rife with misspellings. I just want to hear him speak once. I would play the most dangerous game to hear SawFan666 speak.
Hi, I'm Donald Lloyd, president of Junk Food Dinner Warehouse. With the winter season quickly coming to a close, you're going to want a new t-shirt. That's why I recommend Junk Food Dinner's t-shirt from Hide the Bodies. They're printed on premium next level tees. Super soft, 4.5 ounce combed cotton. Guaranteed to be one of your favorite tees. 9/11 was an inside job. I guarantee it.
You are now tuned into the Pod Awful channel. We're going to get into this thing that we ripped off from another podcast, but before we do, I wanted to talk about something a little bit. We talk about TV shows on this show a lot, right? We talk about the Saved by the Bell, the Munsters, we do these recaps, and I've had it in my head for like 2 weeks. And it could just be a very passing phase. And it could be something that in 8 days from now, I don't feel strongly about at all. But I was thinking, Mr. Frisbee, and tell me how you feel about this.
Okay.
That maybe this show should only be about television. And then maybe doing the TV recaps is all we do.
Do you think that's, sorry. Do you think that's feasible, though? Sorry, I'm channeling fucking Longmont Potion Castle when I started to try to segue into this topic. You think it's feasible, though, sir? I think it's definitely possible. The way I see it is kind of a half and half. We've been working in segments on this show, it seems like, over the past year. We've almost hit 100 episodes, and from the very start, I mean, this being a pet project that you want to do on the side, away from the constant movie reviewing of your other podcast, Junk Food Dinner. Junk Food Diner.
That's how it's pronounced.
Excuse me. With Paul Reiser and Mickey Rourke and Steve Guttenberg, all young, all fresh. Listen in if you want to hear Parker talk with all those other guys I mentioned, those early 80s actors, about 50s music, which is something that Parker I know is fond of. But yeah, you do that show where you review movies all the time, and you went to do a show on the side where you just talk about stuff in general. And it's almost been 100 episodes, and still a very loose format. The TV recaps are the things that actually have any construction to them, like Saved by the Bell, like Munsters. And here's my conceit. Here's my two cents. If the show were to be about TV shows, like just reviewing TV shows, we're off to a horrible start because we're watching the fucking worst TV shows available.
Well, yeah, like, I think
I love watching them, but I'm going to lose brain cells after this next round of Saved by the Bell, because that's the longest season ever. I'm committed, but goddamn, I'm gonna forget how to do math after this.
Yeah, well, I think that would be the appeal, because like you said, I do the Junk Food Dinner Show. I've never really gotten into movie podcasts. I listen to like two. I listen to Now Playing, and I listen to The Kissing Contest. And other than that, I leave them alone, all movie podcasts. And I've kind of gotten into them the last couple of weeks because, a lot of my favorite podcasts don't work anymore, like your Grandma's Virginity and all these guys. And some of them suck now, so I'm like trying to spread out and find new stuff. So I started listening to some cult movie podcasts and normal movie podcasts. And then I saw that there were some Buffy podcasts where like people watch one episode of Buffy and then they talk about it, you know, sort of like an elongated version of what we do with the Saved by the Bell, where they, you know, watch every episode and talk about it, but they do it one per episode. And then I saw that there was like a Dexter one and a Breaking Bad one and Lost and like all these shows that are, you know, by all accounts, like good. But I didn't see, and I mean, I'm sure there are some out there where people talk about bad TV shows, but it seems like there's 100 Dexter shows out there, 100 Homeland shows, but nobody's talking about the important shows, like The Munsters and Saved by the Bell.
Right? Yeah, I agree. I mean, they are important. I feel like I'm dying half the time that I'm watching these things, but they're important for posterity reasons. Somebody has to watch these shows because, damn it, they were popular once. We know this. We know that people know who Herman Munster is. They know his laugh. They know who Eddie Munster is because Butch Patrick has not grown out of that phase. Like, that's his thing till he dies. And Saved by the Bell, come on. We all know Saved by the Bell. To some degree, we tend to forget how loose it was, how from the hip it played, how one episode would never lead into the next unless it was specifically a two-parter. Mm-hmm. In which case a new character would be introduced, like Jesse's stepbrother, who promised that he would stay, but never fucking shows up again. Mm-hmm. It's ludicrous storytelling, but it's insanely popular TV watching. So what are you saying with this? Do you want to become a TV review podcast now? Is that the future of Pool Party Radio?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I'm asking you for your input on it. I don't know. I mean, it's something like we've even like talked about it before in the past, I think, like just in very vaguely, like because I think the Saved by the Bell episodes are the most popular ones.
Agreed. Yeah, I think they're the most popular ones, too.
And, you know, it's much easier to sell somebody on the idea of listening to a podcast about Saved by the Bell than it is to listen to a podcast about where like one guy is like really mad at taxes and then they talk about dicks for a long time.
Yeah. And the other guy gets modest for some reason. It's weird.
Modest about his good body and his tight muscles.
Something like that. Yeah. And it's just like making up nicknames and stuff. It's all good fun, but I think like we've been doing 100 episodes of this podcast for mostly experimentation, which is fine in its own right. Like, we're not trying to run any popularity contests, but we do want to be popular. I get what you're saying. Trust me.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I don't care that we are popular, but I do want to do everything in our power to become more popular.
Absolutely. I'm so glad that we moved on since high school. This is good work, good therapy.
Later on, I'm going to go find some girls and punch them a lot until they like me.
Oh, boy. I see arrests in our future. But I would say that we should just follow our hearts and do what they tell us.
They being the listeners, and the listeners being Blake Sell and your brother.
Exactly. Yeah. The only people who email us. That would be my way to go about it. In which case I would, if it were to be an experiment to try out as some kind of loose formatting, like I would do one foot in, one foot out, because I like this. I like shooting the shit with you. I don't see you. Not since Dayton have I been able to, like, sit down and talk with you. You live all the way in California, so we don't really get to hang out. And I'm sure this gives you a break from talking about movies, from analyzing and reviewing movies, from making goofs on movies that you've seen.
I do like making goofs.
Yeah, it's true. And that's why I'm suggesting, like, maybe one foot in, one foot out. Like, if this were a thing to progress with, to do a TV recap minimalized. Obviously, we're not going to do a whole season because those turn into two episodes or whatever. I would just do like a few episodes together of a show that we're familiar with or that we want to retouch on or that we've never seen or whatever every other episode or every two episodes, something like that, which is kind of where we're headed anyway, since we did that Munsters one shortly after Saved by the Bell, and then we did another Saved by the Bell shortly after the Munsters one.
And we got a new Saved by the Bell coming up.
This is true. Yeah, we got to do that Hawaiian vacation.
Yeah, the Hawaiian movie and the summer camp thing are coming up.
It's crucial that everybody listens to these because they're canon, and if you miss these episodes, you're going to be fucking lost when we get to season four. It'll just be nonsense to you. You'll yeah. know what's going on. You'll be like, Slater and what? Zach did who?
Yeah.
The Belding's upset about something.
The end of the Hawaiian movie is the cliffhanger where Screech gets his soul. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that.
It's a beautiful episode. Yeah.
Get it? Because that one time Spike did that in that show.
I was going to say, and then Zach has uncomfortable sex with Kelly at the rafters of the local club. It's really disturbing to watch.
It's very bizarre. But yeah, so that's what I've been thinking about for like a couple of weeks now. I don't know. Who knows? Like I said, maybe I'll wake up tomorrow and I'll be like, that was a stupid idea, as I do with most of my ideas. But who knows? If you care either way, listener, about what we do from now on, you know, our like you said, Frisbee, our 100th episode is coming up. So it's that could be a time to shake things up or make things very the same. That's what you do when you hit 100 episodes. Or you quit, like a lot of podcasts out there. But I don't think we're going to do that.
No dice.
No dice. Quitting. We're not quitters. Winners never quit. But if you care about this one way or the other, listeners, email us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com or, you know, hit us up on the Facebooks, facebook.com/poolpartyradio. Let us know if you want more TV shows, only TV shows, or if you want us to keep on keeping on talking about dicks and abortions and stuff. Which, although if we were talking about TV shows, I think that a good amount of that would still be dicks and abortions.
Yeah, don't mishear Parker on this. We'd still make time for all the favorites. All the old standards.
Yeah.
Oops, dicks, jisms, yeah. Farts.
We wouldn't abortions. Suddenly become like Fresh Air or something, where we're like real stiff and just telling it like it is, summarizing some shows.
Well, even if we did, we'd be telling it like it is, real stiff, literally, with boners, and mm-hmm. talking about poops and farts. Like, this episode of Saved by the Bell was it was a very telling episode. Slater made that face where he looks like he farted himself. He sharted a bit. Coming up next, we have some jazz stylings from Thelonious Monk. That's what it would sound like.
Yeah.
If we were that way, but we won't be. We'll still sound the same. I'll still be high and shrill and annoying. Parker will still be carrying a lovely baritone voice with all the chuckles and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Using yeah. a lot of hyperbole. But if we did go the NPR route, I would demand that each of our episodes, 45 minutes on the beginning and 45 minutes at the end, would be Ira Glass begging for money, as is
yeah,
tradition.
Yeah, which is, you know, that's NPR during the fall and spring months. So if you're dying to hear that, there you go. You know what to do in about another month. It's their spring drive.
Yeah, so that being said, let's get into this TV Hostage. TV Hostage is something that we ripped off from Kissing Contest, our podcast bros.
Absolutely, yes.
Who we love, even though tensions are high right now because of things that were said on Junk Food Dinner and Kissing Contest. But we're still podcast bros, even though I think we're fighting.
Well, then they steal something from you, from Junk Food Dinner.
No, well, we keep telling people that they did. We got a voicemail from somebody who was like, hey, guys, Junk Food Dinner guys, I used one of your jokes in conversation the other day and it was a hit. But he really meant that it was like a kissing contest joke that they made. So that's kind of weird. And, you know, not too weird, I guess. Yeah, so now we say that Kissing Contest stole that joke from us that some guy thought that we made up, but really they made it up.
Okay, but, so you're doing a you're doing the classic American technique of forcing the fault on somebody else who had nothing to do with it.
Yeah. Oh, actually,
like, this is the sinking of the Lusitania or something.
Yeah, actually, that's a different thing. You're right, though. They did did a show that was like Junk Food Dinner's show couple of weeks ago. That's what you meant. Yeah, but also that happened. So cut that part out. But yeah, they did a Junk Food Dinner show where each of them picked a movie and then they talked about it the way that we do. So that's why we're ripping them off.
TV. Austin. I picked three
TV.
Movies that you've never seen.
Right.
And you
right.
picked three
TV.
Movies that I've never seen. And we force each other to watch at least one of them. And if you don't watch them, you get shot in the face.
TV.
And we're doing TV Hostage. They do a movie Hostage. So we're doing TV Hostage because we like TV shows on this show more than we like movies, as we talked about just a moment ago. So last week, I gave Mr. Frisbee three choices of TV shows to watch. He gave me three choices. I picked The Downton Abbey, and he picked Vampire High School, or Vampire High, I believe. Do you want to flip a coin to see who goes first to talk about these shows?
Well, I feel like I should go first because I get the feeling that these shows that you picked for me were kind of experiments. Like, you wanted to find out what these shows were, so you picked me to view them for you. Am I wrong in assuming this?
Two of the shows were like that.
Okay.
But one of them was a show that I really, really like, and I thought that you would like.
Which one is that?
That was Dead at 21, which you did not pick.
But I was familiar with. I remember that. And that's why I didn't watch it, because I wanted to pick something I was unfamiliar with. So yeah. I picked one of the ones that both of us were unfamiliar with, which was Vampire High School.
Yeah, this is one that I just saw the name of on Netflix and thought it sounded stupid as hell.
Yep, you were right. It is the fucking worst. It is dumb, dumb shit. And I give it the benefit of the doubt because it's from Canada. And just because Kids in the Hall was excellent, I tend to think that everything in Canada deserves a shot. That's probably my fault. It's a false presumption to have about Canada. Maybe the only good thing they did for TV was Kids in the Hall. I mean, look at Ed the Sock. Dumb as hell. So Vampire High School is no exception. You suggested that I watch episode one. The deal for this is that if the episodes were 50 minutes, which televised episodes tend to be, like not a full hour, then we only watch one. So for Downton Abbey, I only had you watch that one episode that I suggested.
Mm-hmm.
For this one, you're like, all right, watch episode one. Episode one was only 22 minutes, so I knew that you hadn't seen this. Because I was like, well, if you knew that it was 50 minutes, you'd be suggesting episode one and something else. So I watched the first two episodes. But thank you very much.
Thank you for covering me on that.
I just want to call you out and throw you under the bus of this TV Hostage. Because I'm telling you, these are 44 minutes I will never get back. Vampire High School, where to begin? This thing, it's Canadian garbage. And it is just the worst. It's about an alternate future that's explained in the beginning in a faux Buffy style introduction, where it has all the look and flair of the Buffy intro, but instead of just like the power rock intro from Nerf Herder, it's just some MIDI rock bullshit, and the professor of the school, Dr. Murdoch, bringing you up to speed of what's going on with this new future. So here's the new future, Parker.
Mm-hmm.
There was an eclipse, a permanent eclipse, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So that means that the moon was stationary between the Earth and Sun. Not only is this just like you're stretching with physics already, but this is something that I'm sure that you would just get furious about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, permanent eclipse, right? That's terrible. That's a dumb idea.
Sounds like a Pat Benatar song.
Yeah, it's a permanent eclipse of the heart. Of my heart towards this show. Anyway, at this point, I was actually reminded of Dan Harmon doing a improv movie on his recent Harmontown podcast, where he's talking. This girl's like, "I want to do a show about a werewolf." He's like, "All right, let's do a show about a werewolf." It was almost the exact same thing, where it's a permanent full moon, to bring out all the werewolves so people can hunt down werewolves, and they make a terrible sitcom out of it. Could have been this show, actually. So, this is the intro. Permanent eclipse. Vampire factions arise. Go to civil war with each other. Mankind is left hanging in the balance. Somehow regains enough to not only bring up culture and whatnot, but also high teen fashion and establishments for learning. Like, nothing seems to have been lost in this drastic civil war. So at the school called Manbridge, Mansbridge Reformatory or whatever, dormitory, Dr. Murdoch teaches his daytime students, because there's no more permanent eclipse. It's on a day-night cycle now. He teaches the day students, who are humans, and then at night, he teaches the vampire high teen students, of which there are four of them in the first episode. And it's just the fucking worst. It's terrible.
So they keep the school open all night just for four students?
He hosts these classes in his office.
That's got to hemorrhage taxpayer money. That's probably what they're doing out here in California.
I like your hemorrhage remark. That would fit in nicely with all the terrible puns that are just laden throughout this show. For instance, the teacher tells his vampire students on, you know, their inaugural day of learning, he tells these kids who are part of the good vampire faction, who have the elders to look up to, he says, "Your elders are dead serious." And then the good vampire in the show, whose name I could not be bothered to remember, we'll just refer to as good vampire guy, he says, "They're dead all right, and so are we." See? That hemorrhaging joke would have been fitting in pretty well. That didn't sell you? Well, how about this one? The daytime kids at the school are rich kids, right? Because it's a boarding school. So one of the rules that this guy, the Dr. Murdoch, who looks like the dad from Seventh Heaven, just with bigger hair, bigger, more Canadian hair, I'm guessing, he says, and first and foremost, no mixing with the day school. And the bad kid student, I think this was like 2001, 2002, the bad vampire guy, the one who's a bad influence, he's got an Eminem-style short haircut, he's a bad boy, he says, must be rich kids. Well, somebody in the class says, must be rich kids. And then he says, good, I have expensive taste.
Ah, that's funny.
Knew you'd like that one.
Yeah, I think that same exact line in that same exact context happened in Downton Abbey, too. So,
they're vampires? I think you read into Downton Abbey probably more than I did. But
they're real into rich people and stuff.
I see. Well, the acting in the show is awful, man. Like, I've seen... Woof. I remember being on Junk Food Dinner and talking about Bronx Warrior. That acting was better than the acting going on here, if you can believe that.
There was some bad acting in that.
There was some bad acting. But, man, that starchy walk of the main character in Bronx Warrior just trumps everybody in this movie.
Yeah, that guy had a pretty weird walk.
Yeah, tight jeans on that dude. And yet he walks better than anybody in this show. Just awful. Dr. Murdoch takes the cake. He has the worst lines. They're not intentionally bad. This is something that just gets passed along, and like that can't have been what they just meant. For instance, this sounds like it's out of fucking Futurama, by the way. First scene, he's talking to the daytime students, the humans who don't know that there are vampires asleep beneath their boarding rooms. He says, "Well, welcome back, students. I hope you had a nice vacation break." I don't know if that's a Canadian thing, but vacation break? Are you fucking kidding me?
I like that. That's that's good stuff. I like using redundant words like that.
Yeah, like it was just a humor joke.
Yeah, I've been drinking my alcohol wine tonight.
Yeah, exactly. My jeans pants fit comfortably, unlike that kid from Bronx Warrior movie.
Jeans. Everybody's wearing their jeans. I got mine on. All right.
metaphors in this show are extremely heavy-handed, as they should be, because it's a teen show. The school is called Man's Bridge, because it's a bridge to men, I'm assuming. The bridge between the dead and the living men is dumb.
That's bad writing.
This is terrible. The vampires, when we first see them, they wake up to rad mid-90s wrestling intro music.
Whoa, sweet.
That's the only cool part about it, though. The main girl, whose name I could not land until later on in episode 2, his name is Sherry, she pisses and moans a lot. She's a real dumb broad. You know, I don't use those words lightly. I'm very pro-woman, but this character is a dumb broad.
I think that you should use the second word lightly, as it's not, it's got no negative connotations. Just, what do you call ladies sometimes? You just call them broads. In fact, some people would say it's got positive connotations. Like, sometimes there's ladies, and then there's broads.
Or there's a tough broad.
Yeah. Broads tend to smoke and fight. And that, those are both cool things.
That's kind of like the equivalent of saying a man's a hunk. Like,
yeah,
you're a cool hunk, and she's a tough broad.
Yeah.
That's all right. Yeah, well, anyway, she's, I don't know, a dumb bee? I don't know what to say. Her name is Sherry. She loves to expose her midriff, and she loves, 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 in this first episode, talking into a Home Alone 2 Talkman.
I like that. Does she speed it up and slow it down?
I wish. It would have been more interesting. That would actually have been, like, humor in the show. It would have been good. Like, when she gives these hokey, pitiful lines, and I have it here. She says, "Nothing changes. I still feel like I'm all alone." And she's still beautiful. Like, pardon me for thinking that, you know, people are shallow, but let's face it. Like, people are mostly shallow most of the time. This girl, there's no way. It's just unbelievable that she would just be, like, moping around in her talk man. Like, that's her exit technique. I mean, she's not doing any drugs. She's not drinking. So she's like, yeah, whatever. I had sex with a bunch of dudes over vacation break. I just never found that Mr. Right. Where is that one special person? And by the way, I'm not making that up. I'm not extrapolating. First scene, after the Dr. Murdoch asks how was their vacation break, her ex-boyfriend, or on-again, off-again boyfriend, Nick, which I guess is supposed to be some sort of plot point or interest of the show, who's not very interesting. He looks like the oldest kid from Home Improvement. He's calling her out in class. The guy's like, "Tell us what you did on vacation break." And he's like, "Yeah, Sherry, tell us. Did you have a lot of sex?"
Oh.
Uh-huh. And then she slams her hands down the table. She goes, "Yes, I did."
Oh! I wish I had the audience sounds queued up.
Well, you don't need to if you're watching the show, because even though there's no studio audience, the entire classroom pretty much fills the space of where the audience would be. It's real weird because the entire class just is exactly what you just did. Like, whoa! She had lots of sex! Whoa!
That's what I do. Still to this day, as a 31-year-old man, anytime anybody mentions sex or having it, I freak out.
Yep.
I'll, like, be at a bar and I'll overhear something in the background. I'll just flip the table over. Whoa! I'll throw my beer bottle at the wall. Oh, my God! Sexual stuff! Intercourse!
Yep.
Bill O'Reilly's gonna be so mad!
He doesn't care about Canada, though. We can get that out of the way. The main vampire, the good vampire, he has some weird connection to Sherry. It's never revealed. All we can assume is that he wakes up and all of a sudden he can hear her whispering sweet nothings into her Home Alone 2 trademarked Talkman. And he hears it. And then when he's hearing it, one of the other vampires, who looks like a girl who's going to a Fish concert, asks him, "Wait, what was that? What did you say?" It's like, "I didn't say anything." So it's this weird, jarring scene where he is psychically linked with this human girl whom he's never met and has not previously seen or had any inclination to know or care about. And he's connecting there. And then this other vampire is connecting with him. reading his mind or something. It's rough, man. It is rough stuff. It is not good storytelling.
Yeah, it sounds pretty awful.
But I will say this. Nick, the home improvement older brother-looking guy, ex-boyfriend, that guy can really eat an apple. He eats an apple like nobody's business.
Man, that sounds pretty good. I love, in Junk Food Dinner, every once in a while, we'll get a movie where, there's a great scene where somebody eats an apple. It happened in...
Never Too Young to Die, for one.
That's probably the best apple-eating scene of all time. And it happens again in Society, which is a horror movie from the 80s, 89 or something, where a guy bites into an apple, and then he looks surprised at how good the apple is. But then he does another face where, he's reassured that he lives in a world where apples are that good. And he, feels good about life again.
That's a powerful scene.
Yeah, it's the best acting in that entire movie.
This is probably the best acting in this show. The guy eating the apple is just so natural. It came to him. I can tell. End of episode 1, Nick, realizing he was a dick, tries to make amends with his on-again-off-again Sherry, shows up to her dorm room with flowers, says, "Hey, it's not the pizza man, it's me." I guess that was supposed to be a joke in the show, but it didn't really fly. And the vamp dude is, again, psychically linked to all of this. So the girls, Sherry and her roommate, they're not in pajamas. There's nothing threatening about this scene. I don't know if this is Canada. I've seen Trailer Park Boys. I know for as funny as that show can be, they're not safe situations. It's in a trailer, there's guns waving around. It's dangerous. This one, nothing dangerous is happening. The show is rated TVPG. I guess it might have something to do with it, but...
Even though they are vampires, which are, the most dangerous things on Earth.
I guess, but they're hunted. That's another weird scene I have to tell you about. But anyway, they're good guy vampires in the basement. Nick is at the door with flowers, saying, "I'm sorry. Sorry I was a dick. Can we get back together?" And the girls are like, "If you don't leave now, we're going to scream." Not for any reason, just because they didn't want him to be somewhere else.
That same exact scene happens in Downton Abbey.
I can't wait to hear it. But anyway, they scream, and the scream elicits a response from Good Guy Vampire, who shows up pissed.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what's happened. He knows nothing happened. He knows that this guy just tried to make amends, failed, and bailed. That's it. But he attacks the guy, throws him through a window.
Nice.
And yeah, it's bad news bears, because I thought it was supposed to be nighttime, but then all of a sudden it's daytime. I guess to make a plot point. Mm-hmm. And it burns the vampire, a good guy vampire. And you think he's dead. But much like Saved by the Bell, he shows up next episode and nothing wrong happened. So it's got that going for it. Second up, they get more in depth about this new future of the vampires and what happened. And they talk about, or maybe this was the first one. I think this was the first one. The professor shows a heat vision tape of somebody getting chased in the woods, and then two other figures chasing down that figure, then shooting lasers at that first figure. So they're hunting down a guy. However, this is heat thermal vision. Vampires are dead. If they're dead, they're not going to be pumping blood, i.e. there's not going to be any heat to record. So we've just watched a human get gunned down by two other humans. And he's like, "This is what's going to happen. This is happening to you already, you vampires." It's like, no, it's not. If you go by vampire lore at all, that's not a vampire on screen, but the vampires are dumb. So they're like, "Oh boy, we better go to school. It's a vampire high."
Ugh. I like that. That's kind of like what happens in that movie Roller Town, where those mobster guys are shaking down a businessman. And they're like, "Hey, lesser mobster, show this guy what we do to guys who don't cooperate." And he pulls out that gun and he shoots himself.
Yeah, the movie's pretty great.
Yeah, we should have watched that instead of watching these shows.
I think so. Jesus. But let me finish it up here. Episode 2 introduces a new student named Marty. Marty, who actually does look a lot like and acts a lot like young Mickey Rourke. He's very disheveled. He's the wild and crazy one. You can tell by his wacky, unlicensed, generic MIDI music. and his crazy witticism, like, "What's up, everybody? Time to go back to school." That kind of shit. This is where the vampires decide to go out for a night, to live one last night before they have to do all this dumb school crap. So they go to a local roadhouse, which is where Sherry and her roommate are going to go. And no real conflict ensues. Good guy vampire follows Sherry out there. Sherry gets hit on by some dumb yokel who doesn't look like a dumb yokel. He just looks like a college dude. She dumps pretzels on his head. Marty yells out from across the room watching the scene. Marty, who's totally unrelated, just says, "Hey, guy, you wear those pretzels well." Doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
It's not a good joke at all.
I mean, well, the show is full of non-good jokes. It's just that half of them are puns, and that's the half of the jokes that you might like.
He should have said, "These pretzels are making you humiliated."
Yeah. Did I deliver that line well, sir? I mean, at least make it, you know, give it some cultural currency. But no, he doesn't do that.
What he should have said after the guy got pretzels dumped on his head is, "Hey, man, I bet you're salty now."
Exactly. Yes. And this leads to my wrap-up point. I might as well wrap this up, unless you want to hear more about this terrible show. Here, I'll wrap up the episode.
Okay.
Marty meets a goth girl who introduces them, who welcomes them with open arms to this very, very generic bar. It's not like a goth club or anything, but she's hanging out there anyway. She's like, "Welcome, fellow traveler," because goth kids are so well known for being so welcoming.
That's true.
And they play their own generic music on the jukebox. It's not an actual song. Marty takes the girl back to their hidden lair, almost bites her ankle after having her levitate in the air. It's not a very cool effect. Doesn't look very good.
Mm-hmm.
Some sort of foot fetish involved there. Because he's speeding around the room, she's like, "What are you doing?" His retort is just, "Call me Speedy Gonzalez," which, as we all know, is a really outdated Looney Tunes reference. Mm-hmm. Marty is on top of things, as we can tell. It looks like there's going to be a conflict. Good guy vampire and Marty, their eyes go red, their fangs come out. It looks like they're going to fight each other because good guy vampire doesn't want to hurt this girl. And nothing happens. They cool out. And the prissy vampire, Bessie, not fish vampire girl, but Bessie, the one who glams it up, looks like an Anne Rice novel come to life. She mind wipes the girl, gives her memories of being in a Barbie dream house for half an hour or some bullshit like that. I mean, this is what I'm getting from the show. And sends her on her way. And Murdoch sums up the episode after what I'm guessing was a commercial break, says, "With time, a community can be formed, which heals all wounds forever." I'll never know if this is the case, because I'm not coming back to this fucking show.
You're not going to watch anymore?
No, of course not. Good God. And here's one of the reasons why. You made a better pretzel joke than the show could. The show, which already had, like, actors and a script and a place to shoot and money to shoot, you came up with something on the fucking spot that was way better. Hey, you look salty now.
Well, thanks.
That's good stuff.
I'm going to move to Canada, and I'm going to be, like, what's his name? The Mad Men guy of, the guy who does Mad Men. I'm going to be that guy of Canada.
I thought you were going to say you're going to be the permanent midnight of Canada, whoever that guy was.
Jerry Stahl. I would love to be the Jerry Stahl of Canada.
The heroin addict of Canada. You'll write for an alien puppet show called Smalf. It'll be nothing like Alf.
That would be perfect. You're describing my dream job here.
Alien high. When I was watching this, I mean, obviously you could do a better job than this show, but I'm thinking, like, whenever I have wistful dreams about doing a TV show or whatever, it's always like, well, I'll never do a show as good as Breaking Bad. But now, I am certain that I can do a show that is better than Vampire High. And I think that's good enough.
Yeah. Yeah, it's daunting if you, like, want to get into something and, to know that you'll never be as good as the Breaking Bad guy. But
yeah, Vince Gilligan.
Yeah, but even if you're, like, not as good as him, like, chances are you'll still be better than, like, 85% of what's on television. All around the world. That's not just America. Like,
this is Canada, man. Yeah, home of Kids in the Hall. if I need to point that out again.
Also, to add insult to injury, this was on Canadian television for many seasons, and Picnic Face, the sketch comedy troupe behind Roller Town, which was one of the best movies of 2012, those guys got canceled after only one season. So, fuck Canada. This is what I've been telling you this whole time. These guys, they got it backwards. They're canceling Picnic Face, and they're putting Vampire High on the air.
Yeah, but then, like, Kids in the Hall runs for 5 seasons, and they get their own movie. And then, like, Trailer Park Boys, they go on for about, like, what, 6, 7 seasons?
Something like that. I mean, you know what I'm saying. I mean, yeah, I'm sure they're doing okay stuff up there.
Yeah, I mean, we're ones to talk with our Mike and Molly and Big Bang Theory.
Well, you're ruining
Two and a Half Men. Jesus.
You're ruining all my hyperbole here, Mr. Frisbee.
Oh, no. Oh, you can get back on that horse. Yeah, Canada sucks.
Yeah.
Gravy on fries. What the hell? I love that stuff, though, secretly.
Although, shockingly, like, the Picnic Face show got canceled from the, like, comedy channel up there. And that channel shows The Daily Show and Colbert, but they canceled an actual Canadian show, which is so weird, like, that Canadians would want to watch shows satirizing American politics rather than comedians from, like, their own towns. Like, I don't like, if Comedy Central here started showing, was like, you know, coming this fall, some show that satirizes Canadian politics, like, nobody would ever watch that in a million years. So it's weird to me that Canadians are, like, real into that.
Oh, but Comedy Central was like that when they first started. That's the weird thing about it, though. Now you bring it up, you remind me, like, half of Comedy Central's broadcasting when it was, like, the Ha Channel and Comedy Central, it was all, like, British fucking comedy. Like, whose line is it anyway?
Yeah, that's true.
And weird shit like that. And, like, Mystery Science Theater, that was probably, like, the only homegrown thing that they had on their network. That and Pendulette, like, leading in from commercial and shit.
Yeah. It was probably, like, super cheap to buy shows from the BBC because they're, like, public and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But, no, I get what you're saying, though. I mean, it'd be like tearing down a Tim Hortons in Ottawa and putting up a McDonald's.
Yeah.
It seems like blasphemy.
Yeah, it's very weird. But, I don't know, what are you going to do? Anyway, this Downton Abbey, speaking of weirdo foreigners, I've never seen this show. I know a lot of people go fucking crazy for it, which is something I don't know, I don't really understand, I guess, going crazy for olden time stuff about snooty people. Like, I could get into some olden time stuff about, like, tough guys. Like, I'll watch Deadwood all day long. But olden times snooty stuff is weird to me. I told my wife I was going to be watching this, and she said she wanted to watch it too. But I told her, well, I'm starting with episode 3, you know, so maybe you don't want to watch it. And she said, well, I got to start at the beginning. So she watched the first 2 episodes before I watched my episode.
Uh-huh.
And I looked over at her. I was, like, playing, like, some video games and stuff on the computer, and I looked over at her, and she was just smiling quietly while watching the show. And so I knew that things were going to be bad, because she likes good stuff a lot of the time. But a lot of the time she spends, like, all day doing, like, Jane Eyre marathons, where she watches every film version of Jane Eyre and, like, all this, like, olden timey, yeah, like, stuff. So I knew this was probably not going to be that great. The first thing I thought of when I was watching this is that it's sort of like, you know, it's, like, very popular here, this show, sort of. And it's, like, very popular. Like, well, here it's, like, very popular in certain circles. The people who donate the money to Ira Glass is very popular with those guys.
Sure.
And in England, it's just very popular. And I was thinking that, you know, a show that's sort of like that here that's very popular is Mad Men, the aforementioned Mad Men. And I was, like, thinking what it is about these shows at this time that maybe people are into. And, you know, both of these countries sort of suck now, America and England. And these are kind of like the last best times of both countries. You know, America, like, the 50s was, like, the last time we were, like, America and great before Vietnam and Nixon beat the crap out of us and made us feel like crap. And same thing with the British. Like, this was right before World War One. And things in Britain were going pretty well, and then in World War One, and then certainly in World War Two, things went all to shit for England, and they haven't been the same since. And so I think these are sort of very nostalgic for those reasons. The last best of times for both countries.
I'll buy that for $1. Hey, that seems right.
Yeah, so You know, and so I was like kind of into it in theory because of that. Like, this is sort of the way that we feel about Mad Men and how cool it is. I think English people probably feel about this time. But then things got real boring. The main conflict of this episode is that somebody purchases a typewriter. And man, people get upset. Everybody congregates. It's one of the servants that buys a typewriter. And all the other servants gather together in a room, and they're looking at the typewriter, and they're pondering what it could be used for. And they call the girl who owns the typewriter into the room, and she's like, "Oh, why were you in my room? What is that doing here? You know, oh, that's not mine." You know, like, they just found, like, a murder weapon, or like a bag of heroin, or a Koran, or something like this. Like, she's like, "Oh, I don't know what that could be. It's personal. Don't look at it." And then, like, the whole rest of the episode, she's just like crying and talking about how terrible she feels that her secret got out, that she owns a typewriter. So that was weird. The second conflict in this is that a man who is a servant, a newly hired servant, has a slight limp. And the and the lengths that he'll go to correct his slight limp and the pain it's causing him, and the alienation that he feels because of his slight limp.
Wait. Was this episode 3?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I said episode 3. No one died in this episode?
Oh, I'm getting to that.
Okay. Because you're talking about the main conflict being a typewriter. I'm like, fucking somebody died.
Well, that, yeah.
Go on.
Well, that happened. That happens sort of near the end of the episode somehow. But yeah, so the guy who dies, some people come to the Abbey. They're like from out of town. I think they're like friends. It was hard to tell what they were talking about on account of their weird language that I don't understand fully. And they were talking about, like, I guess it's like this guy came to town to meet with one of the daughters about getting married and all this, because that's what rich people used to do. They just used to get married to strangers for fucking some reason. And that guy brings along his friend from Turkey, who also had a British accent for some reason. I don't know. I'm sure that probably made sense, but I didn't catch it because I was missing every third word because they talk so weird.
Just to interject here, you're talking about people who are getting married to other people for some reason in the aristocracy, to strangers for some reason. You said strangers.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel this is necessary to bring up just because I know it's going to freak you out. The first episode, you learn that one of the relatives of the house, it's that that older girl, the eldest daughter's cousin, mm-hmm. their cousin, he goes down in the Titanic that was going across the Atlantic. And he was the one who was betrothed to her. They're cousins, you see.
Oh.
So they weren't strangers. So when they lose the kind of marriage insurance for the family, that's what starts the series. They have to find a new heir, a new dude to what they're off to. So go on.
Gross.
Just want to make you feel more comfortable with what you're talking about.
These gross Englishmen. So he brings along his friend, and the girl's kind of attracted to the friend, and you know the friend's like you know, he's like very attractive and, you know, he's foreign and mysterious and stuff. So what the friend does is he gets one of the servants to help him dress after they go out. This is so arbitrary. I knew this was going to happen before even watching the show. But they go on a fox hunt, you know, as you do.
Yeah.
They unironically release the hounds, which is absurd. Yeah. Some Monty Burn stuff. And then they get filthy and then they come back inside and everybody's getting ready for dinner and everything. And one of the servants is helping the foreign guy get dressed and everything. And he's, like, putting a tie on for him. And then he tries to kiss him. Just out of nowhere. And the guy, the foreign guy, is like, "Yo, you shouldn't be kissing me, bro. In fact, now that you've tried to kiss me, I'm going to blackmail you. And you're going to help me rape the girl."
Mm-hmm.
So that's weird as shit. So after the dinner, where they make a couple of funny jokes about how their dentist sucks and stuff. They go, like, the guys, like, they're wearing, like, their Ebenezer Scrooge pajamas with, like, the the candle that's, like, on the metal thing that you hold and, like, the big hat that looks like a wizard hat, a floppy wizard hat.
Yeah.
They go to the girl's bedroom, and the servant's like, "Here it is, you know. I'll leave you to your rape." And he goes inside. He it should be mentioned, I guess, that he tried to kiss the girl earlier, and the girl's like, hey, man, fuck yourself, you know? You can't kiss me. That's improper. So now he's in the girl's bedroom. She's like, hey, if you don't get out of here, I'm going to scream. And he's like, nah, man, you're going to like what I got for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to like what I got for you. I guarantee it.
Just like a men's warehouse inside my pants.
Mm-hmm. So he starts, like, making out with her, and she's like, no, don't make out with me. And then he's, like, on top of her, and, like, he's like, touching the tip of his penis to her skin. And
I gotta add that they show all of what Parker's describing. This is PBS, by the way.
What?
The penis broadcasting station.
I can read between the lines, and I think the penis was out at this point.
Well, it gets very Peck and Paw-ish, right? It gets very Straw Dogs at this point.
Yeah.
Like, British people love their mixed signals with rape and lust. I don't get it.
Yeah, that they do. So he's like, all right, you know, let's make love, dirtily. And she's like, no, absolutely no way. But then she's, you know, doing the Straw Dogs thing where she's like, no, no. But then she's like getting real into it and stuff. And then they start having sex, I guess. And then he dies. He raped her so hard. You know, God bless his soul. God bless his effort. He raped her so hard that his heart gave out. And so he's dead now. And she has to, like, get her mom and some other people to, like, help carry him back to his bed so she can play it off that, you know, they weren't having sex because that would, like, sully her name and everything. Because she's supposed to be a virgin, I think. And so they do that. And, you know, like, you know, the mom's like, well, did he force himself on you? And she's like, nope. Even though that's, like, clearly not the case at all. And then, like,
Straw Dogs.
Yeah.
Just saying. Yeah.
And then the mom's, like, more of, she's like, she, like, gives this look of, like, just sad, like, disappointment. Like, more so, I think, than if she would, you know. She seems sadder that this girl willingly had sex than if she would have, like, unwillingly had sex, I think.
I wish you were raped, daughter.
Yeah, the rape.
I just wish that were the case.
The rape would have been so helpful. So that happens, and then one of the servants see them carrying the dead guy off, and everything like this. I don't know. And then they just spend a lot of time dealing. Like, she's like real sad that the guy died while raping her, and then the other guy who's like supposed to be betrothed to her, he gets the idea that she doesn't like him, and. He's all, well.
That's another cousin, by the way.
Oh, good.
A different cousin.
Oh, good. And then he tells the mom, you know, I understand this girl doesn't love me. So after meeting me the one time or whatever, and, or two, or however, I don't know. And, so, you know, he pieces out. And then it ends on the cliffhanger of the gay gentleman who was blackmailed. A very forward gay gentleman, very forward, this guy, trying to kiss that guy after just meeting him. So forward.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling this old lady, the old lady who uncovered the typewriter in the first scene, all about the story, about the blackmail and trying to kiss the guy and the rape. He tells the whole story to this old lady who has loose lips. And then it ends with her smoking and going, I'll keep your secret safe, even though, you know, she's not going to keep that secret safe.
Oh, no, son. No secret safe in the servants' quarters.
Yeah, so, the show's stupid. It's so dumb. I don't know. I mean, I guess, I don't know. I mean, I guess I could see why people are into it, sort of. I mean, it's a real white person kind of a thing, I think. you know, I don't know. It's...
Even though you haven't seen any of Vampire High, awesome. I'm sure you would say that Downton Abbey is at least much better shot and at least goes for some accuracy in setting and location.
Yeah, like the setting is really cool. Like, there's a lot of cool rooms and stuff. Like, that stuff's all, like, there's a lot of sunlight coming through windows into libraries and stuff. And it's, like, a really pretty show. And a lot of the wardrobes are, like, really cool. And some of the acting's really good. Like, the lady who plays, like, the grandma... She's in, like, a
Maggie
lot of...
Maggie Smith, yeah.
Yeah, she's in a lot of stuff. She's really good. I liked her character. She's not really in it too much, but she's, like, you know, like, sassy. Like, sassy old lady, and she's, like, real conservative. And she's, like, talking about how the servants shouldn't have freedom at all and stuff like this. And it's, like, a cool throwback kind of a character. It's interesting. She's kind of like the... Roger Sterling of the group, I guess. Like, she's like the old man who's used to the old ways and everything.
This is a fucking great analogy you're building. I'm guessing it may have been done before, but I've never read an analogy of, like, the success of Downton Abbey and Mad Men and the comparisons. Yeah, she's totally Sterling.
Yeah, she's like...
For that show.
Yeah, she's, like, used to the old ways and the times they are a-changing, but she's not into it and stuff. No Christina Hendricks character in this, though, sadly.
Yeah.
That was a bummer. I don't know. Maybe the grandma's that character, too. She's probably a filly in her day.
That sucks.
Yeah, this... BBC shows are real weird to me because each season or series of this show is, like, 6 episodes. And then there's a Christmas special, which seems like so old world. Like, it seems like something that should have ended in the 50s, that there were Christmas specials for real shows that happen outside of their actual, like, seasons, you know?
Agreed. For what's increasingly, like, an atheist sort of nation, or what I recognize as more of, like, a non-religious nation, it's really bizarre to be like, hey, a Christmas episode, put on your paper crown and all this stuff.
Yeah, it's especially weird for England. But, I mean, I guess it kind of goes with the sort of nostalgia of this Downton Abbey, you know, reality. I mean, they would have a Christmas special, you know? Like, their Christmases are probably very important, so I guess that's maybe why they do it. I assumed that this was the biggest show in England, aside from Sherlock, because Sherlock is, you know, super awesome.
Yeah.
But I looked at the ratings, and I was pleased to find out that England is just as stupid as us. Because the top shows in England were, the top rated things, I guess, were like...
It has to be Top Gear was one of them.
I think it was on there. It was kind of low on the list, I think. It was like, the top 5 were like all soccer games, and then X Factor, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, Britain's Got Talent, and some reality show about dancing. We're all ahead of this.
That's rough. Yeah, that's like a carbon copy of American viewership.
Yeah, I was not expecting that. I thought it would be like this and... You know, Sherlock and, I don't know, some Ricky Gervais talking about how God doesn't exist show. And then, like, some show where, like, smart people do science together. And then, like, all the stupid stuff. But no, they're just as dumb as we are.
Shitty reality TV. Not even, like, fun reality TV. That's the shittiest of the shitty.
Yeah, they didn't have their equivalent of Buck Wild.
No, just the updated equivalent of the Gong Show. No fun, man. No fun in the sun.
Yeah, so that was weird. But, I mean, I don't know. If you're into this kind of stodgy old mess, I can understand why you would like it. But that being said, I cannot understand why you would even be into this stodgy old mess. So I guess that's the disconnect. But if you happen to be, then I guess this is the show for you.
Well, Parker, I must say I'm proud of you for actually watching the episode. I can tell because you were just as disdained and... upset by it as I thought you might be. I didn't pick this on accident. Like, among the 3 choices of this, Duckula, and Inbetweeners, I thought it was going to come down to, like, Duckula and Inbetweeners, with Inbetweeners being the heavy lifting on it. But no, I just picked this as a goof. You picked the goof. I know you won't be watching this. Do you think the wife will continue watching?
Oh, yeah. She watched, like, 2 episodes afterwards, and then it was, like, 6 in the morning, and she was, like, real bummed out that she had to go to sleep before watching the last episode of the season. So she's real into it.
All right.
Yeah, so that's all right, I guess.
But, yeah, I'm sure she'll dig it. The next season gets into World War I, and I don't think... I mean, it's not as good, because they try to do a lot of outside shots, and I think the show kind of revolves around it being inside. It's the interiors. It's like the servants... milling around the house and the people inside of it. And they do some of that, but then they try to take it outside and the storyline gets stretched real hard during like the last half of that season. Anyway, they're in series 3 now. And, yeah, people love talking about this show.
Yeah. I was reading about the seasons and stuff, and it seemed, simultaneously interesting how they do them. And also seemed very hard to like pull off. So I could see how maybe the show isn't as good as it starts out, because there's the 3 seasons, like you said, and they span like 12 years from the beginning of season 1 to the end of season 3. And that's probably really hard to pull off, but it's also like kind of cool to span that much, you know, history.
Yeah, because it covers like pre-World War I, then World War I, and then like the late 20s boom and then probably the Blitzkrieg. That's going to get awesome when they're getting bombed and shit. Well, they won't experience it, but they'll get the ramifications of it.
Yeah. And I mean, that's kind of what I think Mad Men does that, but not as far. Like, I think each season of Mad Men counts as like 2 or 3 years, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, even then with, I guess like, what would it be? Racial and class struggle. They deal with that, like the 60s version of that.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting. But yeah, that's impressive. I'm impressed that you watched probably the most British thing you'll ever see. Although I encourage you to watch Inbetweeners because, I mean, that'll be like the cleansing shower after watching this show. Like I guarantee you've never heard the words dick and balls and everything else and words that you've never heard of that sound filthy, even though you don't know what they mean at first because they're so British, but then you realize how vulgar they are coming from these kids' mouths. You have to really, oh man, I highly encourage you watch Inbetweeners.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll do another TV Hostage one day. Rip off those kissing contest guys more and do it. Although I don't think you're allowed to use the same show twice, but I really want you to watch Dead at 21, so maybe we will forgo that rule.
Okay.
Well, also, I have a British show that I was thinking of doing this time around for you, but next time I'm definitely doing. It's the show Lex. Have you ever seen it?
No. I mean, I've caught glimpses of it, but I've never actually watched an episode.
Well, I hear
it's really good, though.
Yeah, that's going to be next for you. It is a good show.
Okay. Yeah, put that in the roster. We might have to do like a do or die TV Hostage where we just pick one show that we're like, you have to watch this show. And Inbetweeners would be it because I really want you to laugh at British stuff.
Ah, that would be my worst nightmare.
We have a pretty great relationship with our customers. In fact, some of them are pretty personal. If you're curious about our products, especially the junk food dinner shirt from Hide the Bodies, I can come to your house. I could come in through the front door. I could use the side door. I could shimmy up a drain pipe. I could kick in your cellar window. If you have a lattice wall, I could scale it. When I'm in your house, you can try the shirt on. You're gonna like it. And then I'll leave. You're gonna miss the things I took. I guarantee it.
Before we end everything, we should tell you that we were doing some stuff this week. We were very busy. We went on the Rotten Rantings show, and you should check it out. You were there too, Mr. Frisbee.
Mm-hmm. We watched some despicable stuff for those Rotten Ranting kids. We had Katie and Chris on recently, so check out that episode of Pool Party. But also, we returned the favor after they asked us to be on their show. They originally asked Parker, and Katie took a leap of faith. A Kierkegaardian leap of faith and said, Frisbee, how would you like to watch the three most violent movies we've ever tried to review on the show? So you'll get an earful of me talking about Guinea Pig Blood and Flowers, part of the Guinea Pig series of Japan. 42 minutes of a woman getting eviscerated, not eviscerated, but like disemboweled and chopped up and all sorts of stuff. We also discuss... ooh, what came next? Oh, we also discussed August Underground, a kind of a sleeper hit of the early 2000s.
A movie that
found footage gorilla.
Yeah,
series.
A movie that if you like Limp Bizkit, man, you're gonna love this movie.
You're gonna go balls deep in some Limp Bizkit nostalgia with August Underground.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, proclaimed the most brutal film ever filmed. Is that the case still? You'll find out. And we also discuss Human Centipede 2. This is Parker's, what, third return to this film?
Yeah, I watch this movie a lot for some reason.
And it's my first, and I believe, like, if you heard the Junk Food Dinner version of the Ghoul Summer with Mike Dick, was it?
He was on there.
Yeah, where you discuss it there. You'll get some more insights about it. Human Centipede 2, disgusting film or an interesting meta-concept piece about horror fans today. So good stuff. Go check it out at RottenRantings.com.
Yeah, I think it will be up in a couple of days after this goes up.
I think so.
So yeah. Check that out. Also, me and Jesse P.S. from Pod Awful, a.k.a. Mr. Daddy, he and I did another Awful Flicks a couple of days ago. It's not up yet, though. I'm not sure when he'll put it up. I assume soon. Maybe it's already up by the time you get this. It's a show where him and I get together and we crack-wise over top of movies, sort of a Mystery Science Theater thing, but way better.
Nope. Mystery Science Theater is great. You guys are also great. I think it's equal footing, but go on.
I think we're a little bit better.
No, they're good.
We're at least better than the Joel days.
I really like Joel. I think he's probably the best out of the two, but go on.
Then we're probably better than the Mike days, I guess.
I agree with this. Go on.
All right. So we talked about a movie that we've gotten a lot of requests for on Junk Food Dinner and have never done because we are buttholes. And also because, I mean, the movie seems terrible. So, I mean, we also just kind of wanted to avoid it. But me and Jesse, we manned up. We sacked up and we did ATM, which is just atrocious. Probably worse than the movies we watched on Rotten Rantings. So that'll be up soon. That'll be a lot of fun. It's at awfulflix.tk or awfulflix.tumblr.com. It's also on iTunes and all that. So check that out. Also check out our podcast bros, the Badland Girls, because they've been hyping up the Junk Food Dinner shirt way more than we have almost. So they're very nice for doing that. Also buy a Junk Food Dinner t-shirt. Also, check out Illogical Contraption and Kissing Contest, because they're also hyping up our Junk Food Dinner t-shirt, and they're very nice for doing so.
You can find those shirts at htbkicksass.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's our Hide the Bodies pals. We had Greg on the show a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So check out that episode also.
Those guys are all delightful at Hide the Bodies. Also, you can find it at junkfooddinner.com. As for this show, we're at poolpartyradio.com. On iTunes, please leave us some ratings and reviews. Our birthday is coming up, our 100th episode, our 2-year anniversary, and birthday presents in the form of ratings and reviews on iTunes would be great, because then more people will stumble across our little show, and more people will see, oh, this has a lot of ratings that say this show is good. Well, I'll listen to it, because a lot of shows on iTunes have like one rating, and you can tell it's from one of the guys' moms, and that's probably lame, but if a show has more ratings, it's probably good, so it's super helpful to us. Or just tell your friends. I guess that's probably the best way, is to just next time your friends say I'm bored on the Facebook, just type in our little link, poolpartyradio.com, and tell them to listen, and then they will, and then that helps us out a lot too. Also, email us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com and let us know if we should keep the format the same or if we should only talk about TV shows. And also, just email us about whatever, and maybe we'll read them, and maybe we'll completely forget about it, like we've been doing on every show recently, because we're jerks.
Sorry, Blake, and my brother.
So I guess that's everything. This is Parker for Jason Raise Babes Frizz Babe, saying thanks for having fun.